Live from Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with your host, Laura Camrath and Brian Gendron. And now, the music of Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
Welcome to Big Ideas Small Business. Laura Camrath, how are you?
Hey, Brian. I'm doing awesome. How are you? You doing all right?
I'm doing great. And today we are joined by a very special guest, Mr. Randy Guttenberger. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thank you for letting me come on.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us. Randy is a certified professional behavior analyst. Been doing that work as a coach since 1996.
Correct.
And wrote a book called Managing Your Crazy Self, Turning Your Turbulence into Tranquility.
Right.
I like that tagline. And so we're going to get into not only the book, but also some of the programming and things that Randy brings to the business community, to your home life. There's a lot of applications for this. If you have a pulse, it seems like there's some benefit from this book.
Yeah.
But one of the things we like to start with is some fun facts about our guests.
Yeah. So I heard, Randy, that you really like music.
Love music. Music can speak. It's a spiritual element of the human where we're often working out of the brain, but it communicates and bypasses the brain, and that's why so many people love it.
Yeah. I hear they use actually music in behavioral therapy sometimes.
Yes, and music and art.
Yeah.
Both are a spiritual. They operate on a different brain wave than language does. Like you sleep and you're under anesthesia, those are all different brain waves. So it's fascinating. It can bypass our blockers.
Yeah, you seem to know a lot about neuroscience. That's pretty cool.
Well, it's been on-the-job training.
Oh, well.
Double-checking with everybody. When I hear a concept, I think what I do well is make it applicable for people and an easy way for them to digest it.
Yeah.
But I go research the heck out of it, so I make sure I'm not misleading anyone, because that would really make me feel bad.
Yeah. No, that sounds... I mean, according to what I've learned, you know, in just looking through your materials... Yeah, I mean, the concepts that you presented, I think, are super valid. And the way you've presented it seems just really, it's relatable to the average person like me, somebody who's not.
Well, I designed it for everyone on purpose because I believe we all need it. Uh-huh. And it could be a household name. And it's the way we're wired. We're all wired to be screwed up, but we're wired to heal. And that's the important part is how. And when. Uh-huh. And most of the people I coached have not. Mm-hmm. And I went to a guy who studied the neuroscience with the brain, you know, with the caps and how they light up your head and all that. And he read the book and he said, I want to tell you the problem I have with your book right off the start. He said, you say everything I wanted to say and you beat me to it. But with the ostrich and the rhino and the concepts, it makes the instinctive brain and the conscious mind really easy for people to grasp and they don't forget it.
Oh, so talk about a little bit the ostrich and the rhino. I see you've got
little characters.
Little characters here.
Yeah, the ostrich here is a little doll, but it represents your instinctive brain, which is your limbic system, which is I call the pea brain.
Yeah.
And it runs your body well. It records your memory, and it scans every day to protect you from danger. And when it senses danger, it goes to the brain stem, which releases your adrenaline for fight, flight, or freeze. Long as you stay in that loop, you're reacting. Now that you get these awareness factors, like somebody cuts you off in driving and you get mad at them, or you see someone you don't like, or you touch something that's hot, those are all reactive, instinctive traits. Having those is not the problem. Mm-hmm. Reacting to them and not overcoming them is. So your reactive self is your reacting to the instinctive brain, which is your ostrich thinking. And you want to move to the neocortex, which is actually 80% of your brain. That's where your brilliance is. And until you get there, you're not going to discover yourself. And so when you're feeling fear, anxiety, stress, any of those kind of negative emotions, you're caught up in your negative instinctive brain, which is only trying to protect you from danger. It is not trying to hurt you. It's not trying to drive you crazy. But you get caught in those loops. And the reason we do is because it's running 24/7. And so we got to manage it 24/7. But the only thing that's really going to kill us today or hurt us is driving a car. So we don't need all this all the time. We need to move to conscious thinking. And that's the rhino. The rhino has thick skin, blaze new trails, you break from the herd, You live as if you have no enemies, and you, you make your way in life. You don't take no for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to learn to get there. And your brain, I separate brain and mind, but your brain is instinctive. It's an organ like a heart or a lung. Or it's doing its process. It's a computer. And it runs all day, 24/7, and every thought you have either initiates from that or gets rerouted to it. So that's why it generates all that. And then it creates these feelings.
Yeah.
And we feel it, so we think it's real. It's not. Just in a quick note, the emotions come from birth because you don't know how to talk. So when a baby's born and it's wet, want to be held, cry, fed, whatever, you cry because you don't know how to talk. Those emotions is what that's coming from. It doesn't know time, so it's alive today. And what's interesting is we got to override that and choose, and we do it all the time. Every person's done it in some part of their life and done it very well, but there's also areas you haven't. It's so fascinating how some things should have scarred you in your life when you were growing up, but they didn't. Your radar was not looking for that to be any big issue, so you let it go. But something has scarred you that gets you every time, and you can't let it go. You have to manage that big time. Well, in the business world, we hire people, and every person has this wound, and they have to learn to overcome it. And when you're paying, when you're the owner and you're paying for your employees, what level of performance do you want from your staff? 60, 80, 90?
120%.
Yeah, a lot of them will say 120. Well, you know, what are you getting?
Yeah.
And if we did increase it, how would that help? So I work with companies a lot to help them improve their employee performance and their communication, because you have A, B, and C players, and if your A players aren't winning for you, they leave and go to other companies where they can perform.
Yeah.
Then your C players pull B players down. You're in trouble. Your competitors have the A players. There's a whole lot of management into that coaching to get the best out of an individual and how to let go of their own instinctive stuff and not trigger someone else's.
So there's an application within teams as well, how to balance personalities.
Team synergy is no accident. It has to be intentional and driven, and trust has to be a key part of it. And to have that trust, you have to overcome this instinctive nature to protect yourself from fear, anxiety, whatever your wound is.
There's a lot of fear, and I'm going to tell you why. So our audience is a lot of entrepreneurs, small business owners. Laura and ourself are in that group. And believe me, there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of fear involved, especially in the first few years. So I think, you know, a lot of what you talk about, what you research, what you coach, really is a value to our listeners.
It is, and there's not an entrepreneur that's not thinking in the rhino mind. But to do it, they had to overcome that fear. And though we have lots of fears, what I have found is we all have really one. It's that one insecurity, emotional wound that holds us back. And we need to surround ourselves with people that support us through that. And there's a lot of dynamics that come into play with that. But that's what we're needing. But we often want to transfer our wound to someone else to fix. That's not the way it's supposed to heal. It heals when you take ownership of it. So when you're juggling finance and innovation and marketing and people and competition and technology and all these different things, yeah, your fears are going to get slapped around pretty good.
That's true, man. You know us pretty well. So one of the best ways to set this up, and this is how the show works, we take a big idea that you had and dissect that a little bit, you know, talk about some of the areas where you've been challenged, where you've had successes. But if we were to ask you in your career, what was your big idea?
How would you? The big idea was, I worked for the Boy Scouts for 11 years, and they trained us in people personality dynamics so we could get the right people in the right jobs, because we had 100 pack and troop committees. They're all volunteers. I was the professional advisor to Grow Scouting in several counties. And so I'd get the right people in the right jobs, but every 3 years they'd turn over because their kids moved up. So we had lots of turnover. So it was a people dynamic business that we were using a lot of management by objective concepts to achieve our goals in training, fundraising, membership, all those kind of things, advancement. And the program is fabulous for the development age of the boys, from elementary to high school and leadership and all that. But what I learned is the tools we had, which I had a real knack for getting individuals in the right roles and the teams that we built, is that people are not getting these tools. Even the directors and our board, very successful people in our cities and our counties and community, did not have these tools. They didn't know how to implement them. So I left scouting in 96, pretty much cold turkey, to bring tools and insights to people so that they could succeed. And that was the big idea. And that's been my mission ever since. And it's just grown and grown and grown since then.
Hmm. Yeah, here we are, 22 years later. Does it feel like 22 years?
No. Yeah. No, because I'm doing what I love.
Not when you're having fun.
Yeah.
That's right.
And every day you meet, the more unique a person is, the more I love them. I love the dynamics. I love syncing it up so everything works for them and clearing out the clutter so that they can perform and feel good about themselves and know why and not have to feel the insecurities or the wounds they've had carried for so long. How to release those is really important.
You've probably gotten a few sincere hugs over the years.
Yeah. And it's great when you see people 5 years later and they thank you and they're excited to see you.
Yeah.
That is so awesome.
Well, that's terrific. So I like to start here, if it's all right. Mistakes that you made along the way. And I say that because people can see all where you've gotten to with the book and, you know, all the branding and stuff and think that there wasn't any mistakes or trip ups along the way.
Oh, my gosh. You know, going backwards.
Our usual reaction. Yeah.
The branding, finding your market niche, having the materials. There's two things that I did would say I didn't follow the rules on. Mm-hmm. One is I didn't start with a defined market niche that I knew. I just believed it was there. Mm-hmm. I believed there was an opportunity. The other was to be funded to cover the peaks and valleys that business does. You're going to go through cycles in business, and every so many years, you're going to hit a two-year slump. Something's going to set you back. Either your market niche goes down, the economy, even the presidential patterns of which party's in office changes the big money, which filters down to their training and development of their people and what they're going to cut. And I've witnessed that over 22 years. And you no one tells you that. And then when it hits you, they're like, Randy, we love your stuff, but, you know, for 2 years we're cutting the budget here. National's not going to give us much, and we'll call you back. And they do, because they love you, but they only have so much they can do. You got to learn how to weather all those ups and downs.
Yeah.
And when you have a good up, don't believe it's forever. It's not going to last. It's going to taper off at some point.
I think that's a really actually good point, interesting point. A lot of the guests we've had on recently have been relatively new business owners. Mm-hmm. And so we haven't really had a whole lot of guests on who have the length of experience in their business as you do. And that's a really good point is, you know, weathering the kind of lull periods and how do you get through that? Is there anything that you do now to plan for those times or?
Well, every business has to reinvent with new clients, you know, 20-30% every year. If you don't do that, it's going to die out. They're going to retire. They're going to become obsolete. Technology makes them. Competition, something's going to wear that erosion down. You're going to have attrition.
So maybe kind of a don't rest on your laurels
don't
kind
you do
of
it.
Situation.
I think more so than ever, right? I mean, if you look at how fast things are changing in the software, for example, how, you know, I heard something the other day, it took 15 years for the telephone to get 50 million adopters, and it took like 15 weeks for Pokemon Go, or 15 days. It might have been 15 days.
Yeah, you can have a takeoff launch at some point that can just explode, but you can also fade out just as quick. If you look at a lot of products that have faded, and when you study business model, which I have a finance degree, I went to school for wildlife management. That's really what I like. And so I think that's where the animals come from, is people are my wildlife.
Yeah.
But I use the characters to help make it simple. But we're going to have those problems, and you've got to learn how to balance all of that and be stable and reinvent yourself when you need to. It's a problem in America for families, because in the industry age of the early 1900s, if you became a Exxon guy, or Exxon maybe wasn't there, the Humble, GE, IBM, a government, a postal worker, you died doing that. You're not going to do that today. You get a job, that company is going to be bought out, industry is going to merge, technology is going to change it. You've got to market your skills, and you can't count on that corporation to be your breadwinner the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Have you changed your content when working with individuals to respond to that, you know, the movement in the workforce?
Not so much, because the assessments that I use, because I use science, personality, and experiences. There's three parts of what I bring are really below that. What a lot of marketing does is packaging, And I don't like to go with fads. I deal with science and mm-hmm. things that are proven. So when a new product comes out, I really don't get too excited about it for 5 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of pay attention to it, but I want to know how this brain works. That's the same in all of us. And yeah. once that knowledge came out, that's what I wanted to bring to people. Mm-hmm. The personality dynamics I've been doing since 1988 with the Boy Scouts. And I knew when I left in 96 that I wanted to be doing this 20 years when people were starting to get into it. Where now a lot of people are using it, they won't even hire without some assessment tool. Mm. Now there's a lot of different tools out there. And they're all, you know, pretty decent. But I use behavior styles, motivators, learning styles, love languages, emotional intelligence, and gifts. Those really are key pieces of the puzzle of the individual. And each one brings a different dynamic, and it's what makes us different. Mm-hmm. So mine are pretty stable. Mm-hmm. They don't waver. That's been a really cool thing about them is they're consistent. They resonate with people. It gives them the knowledge where they'll say, man, why didn't somebody tell me this a long time ago?
Yeah.
I wish I'd have known this 20 years ago. Hmm. And that's what I'm wanting to bring people so they can, because it doesn't matter. We're all living in this time warp. Our emotions are living in the past, and our conscious mind lives in the present. The conscious mind knows time. So we have a disconnect in all of us. Mm. Because we feel something of the past, which your brain really didn't even let you know what it is. It's just an inkling of that creates the emotion of fear, anxiety, depression, whatever. And it's not real if you're really not going to, if you're not going to die, let it go. Mm-hmm. But how? Mm-hmm. How do I let it go? I'm mad.
It does really seem interesting to me, you know, in our culture, we go to school, we get jobs, we do all these things, but one thing that does seem to be absent from our culture is emotional education.
Right.
And the you know, giving, like, teaching us the tools to deal with
that's
our,
a good point,
you know, emotional,
it's part
health.
Of it's because, and it's coming alive now more and more. Uh-huh. But you know, in the old days, you even think about the military days of World War I and II, they were just told you don't cry. Mm-hmm. Get back on the horse if you fall off.
Yeah.
There was none of this knowledge that we had today.
Yeah, most of this research is, I mean, what, 1960s and present? I mean, there really hasn't been a lot of...
I think it started back then, but it's yeah. really honed in with the technology. Now we can measure attributes in you that we don't have words to describe. Huh. Our problem is the lack of words that have definitions. Take the word love. What does that mean? Does that mean personal love, physical love, spiritual love, erotic love, love, a sport? We don't know. We've got to define it. Hmm. So we have that problem throughout our language. Hmm. But our assessment capabilities and technology are amazing.
Hmm. And continuing to evolve.
It's not going to stop.
And I know you kind of pinned yourself as a late adopter, but if you think about AI and where the world is going, it's intriguing. And transformative, and you know, I've got some ideas about where we're going, but it's going to be an interesting ride over the next probably 10 years.
Oh, it won't ever stop. Yeah. It's almost scary where it's going to go, and who's going to have control over it?
Telekinetic driving, maybe.
Someday we'll have to go to the future and see what our heads look like. You know, they're going to be big old heads or something. But the human being is made up of so many parts, and I break it down to the mind, the brain, your conscious mind, and your spirit. And those are three different entities within each person. Part of, you can call it our soul or whatever you want, but each one has different characteristics and how they function. Mm-hmm. And when you understand how they work, it makes so much sense, and you can take charge of it. And that improves your relationships. Mm-hmm. And your first relationship is with yourself. So when you're running a business, you've got to manage you before you do everything else. And I learned in economics class in college that because a business is in business does not mean it's got a good product or service. It means they have funding. Lots of great ideas go under because they're not funded well.
Yeah.
And lots of terrible businesses are in business because they have funding.
Mm.
That's pretty amazing.
It's a good point.
And then you get into the politics and the legalities, you know, and people leveraging what they can. And so when you try to grow a business or you work at a business and you want things to happen a certain way, there's a lot of dynamics in play. Mm-hmm. But when you can link them up right, the synergy within yourself or within the relationship of your spouse, which is the second one, mm-hmm. or your kids, because you're raising another entity, mm-hmm. Or your coworkers, And coworkers, we have different dynamics. We have people that have authority over us. We have people that we have authority over. And then we have peers. Mm-hmm. And unless the peers are competing for us, we give friends and peers and grandchildren a free pass. Mm-hmm. We don't have the same expectation on them as we do bosses, employees, spouses, or children. There's a different hierarchical there that we apply. And our brain, the ostrich, shoots all the flares off on those. And I think it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's funny how couples attract opposites. Why is that? That's a very good one. I think it's because people fall in love with something in themselves they see in the other person, but it comes out different.
Yeah.
That's a kind of a creative thought. But I can't deny that opposites attract.
Pheromones.
Could be like a balancing.
It could be just pheromones. It could be something. Yeah, it is something.
I actually, there's a startup company that I've talked to who, it's a dating app that uses DNA and mines your social profiles for, you know, to match you. It's just an innovative way of matching people. They're called Pheromore. But they said, they actually did say that the more different they're, you know, they match, or the more different they are, the more likely they are to match.
Well, when you go to the science of positive and negative electrons, there's an osmosis that's going on. I mean, you walk down a detergent aisle at a grocery store and you can smell soap. Why? It's in the box. Why can you smell it? Yeah. Isn't that amazing? You go to the next aisle, you don't smell it, you know? So there's something going on all the time. We're all changing, we're all growing, and we're becoming. And the way I like to say it is we're becoming. We have a genetic structure. Mm-hmm. And by the way, your personality is not who you are. It is your starting point. It is how your filter shapes how you perceive problems, people, pace, procedures, your motivators, your love language, your learning styles. Mm-hmm. You can become anything you want to become. That's going to expand your rubber band. It's going to stretch it. And it's going to require energy, and you got to restore that energy. Mm-hmm. So when you hire someone, when you marry someone, when you raise a kid, you're going to get stretched. Isn't that a good analogy?
That's true. It's all, like you said, it's all really relatable, and then all the content has been illustrated. And we'll talk a little bit about your content. One of the things when Randy and I first talked and were introduced, I'm a huge fan of Daniel Kahneman. We've actually talked about it on this podcast before, Thinking Fast and Slow. I'm like 200 pages into this 6 months later, thick research on system one, system two thinking, which is effectively the ostrich and the rhino. And gosh, if I would have just found, if Ben would have, his son Ben, who introduced us, would introduce us a little bit earlier, I would have saved myself a lot of time scratching my head being like, this is great content, but it's hard to digest. Right?
I went through that in my book because when I first farmed it out, it didn't have the cartoon characters. And people say, oh, Randy, I like your book. I'll read it later. And they put it down. And I went, dang, I lost them. I don't want to lose them. I want to engage them. So I thought about it for months, and I said, cartoons. People love cartoons. They love characters, Charlie Brown, Mickey Mouse, and all this. So I said, I got to come up with cartoon characters to tell the story. And that's where the rhino and the ostrich materialized. And then I had to find an illustrator, and it took us a year. I found one pretty quick who was brilliant. And he grasped the concepts and was able to make the pictures tell the story. And that's what I wanted, because people would grasp the pictures. And so then I had to go through and get the concepts on the 50-something pictures in the book that we used. And that worked. And so then when we farmed the book out, people loved it. And they said, well, Randy, I need real stories. Give me real examples. I went, man, I took those out just so the pictures would tell the story. No, pictures are great. Leave the pictures, add the others. So then I had to go back and put them all back in. And then I had to do the editing and the layout and all that. And editing is a big, you know, I've learned the beauty of editing. There's all kinds of editing out there, grammatical and structure of flow, all kinds of stuff. Does it read from a corporate side? Does it read like a children's side? How you make the story unfold? And you can't do everything in any one book. You gotta let it be what it is. And so finding an editor that keeps your voice and that makes the thing come alive is another part. So
that reminds me of a book you recommended, Donald Miller's Story Branding.
Yeah,
that kind of makes perfect. It makes your brand come to life, whatever it may be, and in your case.
So maybe next time you need to get a picture book.
Yeah. I said no. Then there's pictures in there too, but it's all good content, relevant content, especially for like the business owners and, as we suggested at the beginning, really anybody. Here's this. Let's look at what it is exactly you bring to market, and understand a little bit more and have our guests understand, because I think there's some people out there that could benefit today from working with you.
Well, when I work with a company, the first thing to do is to help them understand themselves, an employee, and then others, and how to adapt.
When you say themselves, are you talking about the company's mission and vision and goals?
No, or just the employee.
The employee. It's all...
Okay. The leader needs to understand their self, leadership team, the managers, the employees. Everybody's got to understand who they really are and what they bring to the team. Mm-hmm. What are their natural strengths? And what are these wounds that we bring to the team that are not required? Mm-hmm. You're not going to die. Let it go. But we got to learn how. And when we do, then we can do the synergy. Hmm. So I do group sessions, and then the best is to do a follow-up. When you do the group, everybody else gets to chime in. And it's an energizing session. Usually they're 4 hours. And I get to work with companies in retreats or training times. But they I get to expose how each person thinks and feels, having never met them in front of a group. And they love it because they go, man, you nailed that. You nailed these two guys, the president and the CFO. That's how they talk. Or this manager and this person or, you know, whatever it is. And it's all fun. It doesn't hurt. It's nothing that sheds embarrassment. That's not the point. And nothing you don't want to do anything like that. But it does break down the dynamics so well. And so that, then if I can meet with them one-on-one, I can deal with the emotional part and help them with the private part they don't want to expose in front of a group. And then when that works, they go, what did you do? What did you say? They're so much better. I just saw a spike in their performance.
Wow.
And so while I was doing this retreat, someone said, I want to do what you're doing. And I went, oh, my gosh. I know what I'm doing, but I don't know how to tell you. Mm-hmm. So I had to write it. And so it took me 4 years to get the book, and there's a lot of sub-steps on that. And once I got it written, I want to certify and train people because I can't be everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that fits my mission. Whether they're an HR director or a business owner or manager or a life coach or a counselor or whether it's an LPC or a school counselor, whoever you are that you want to make a difference in people's lives, trainers and coaches, this program is great. That's what I really want to do, is train people.
That's right, because there's only one Randy Guttenberger, but if you can train and Rhino Insights Certified is the name of the program, then you can really expand your reach.
It's actually, Rhino Insights is the name of my company, but I actually go with Managing Your Crazy Self or Managing Your Crazy Self-Development Program.
Right.
And the reason I say that is because it's fun. It makes people laugh. Mm-hmm. People see the book and they go, oh, that's me, man. That's my office. Yeah, I am crazy. I need some help. You know, see the book? That's the little one. I might have the... same cover on the binder, which people get. You may have to zero in on that. I don't know how we can slide that up there or not. But so that's what we're doing now, and I'm training licensed counselors, and I did some conventions, went to them because the counselors told me to. That was a surprising success. They said, oh, you need to go share this. I went, really? So to me, these experts who've had four-year degree, you know, advanced degree, and then an intern of 3,000 hours are telling me to go market it to their kind.
Yeah.
That was very nice to hear. And when I went out and started talking to them, between sessions, you have only 10 minutes to tell them something. Mm-hmm. And this cognitive behavioral therapy that they're into, this fits great because it gives them content, it gives them material, it zeroes right to the core very, very quickly, and they love that. And so they're buying in, and I'm training them. It's really exciting.
It's good to get that affirmation. And you were telling us before we went live that you also had a college professor that had bought up some of these books for their students. That's another success that you've had.
Yes, one of them was. And from the conference that was in last November, I got a call this spring that said from a college bookstore that said, hey, we need orders of your book. We're teaching it in a class, in a college graduate class.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you don't get that call every day. That was the first time. That was the first time memory that I'll never forget.
Huh. Well, congratulations. What's next?
Well, I'm training these 9 counselors across the state, and I'm hoping to speak at some of these counselor conventions and, you know, ultimately get to 100 and maybe 500 or 1,000. There's several thousand counselors in Texas. And they all have their little practice and are striving to help people who are coming for help. You know, you don't go to a counselor when you're okay. You go when you're struggling. And you've probably failed a few times. And you may have fought it off and thought you could overcome it and things would work out, and they didn't. So they're always a nervous client. But when what this does is give them such a positive leadership to that person's solution, a direction. It zeroes in on it and helps them understand it, and they can turn it around. And these millennials that we have today, they don't want a six-month program. They want an answer immediately. And so this helps the counselor have that immediate answer. So I've been thrilled that that market is open and eager. And whether someone's suicidal or the traumatic, post-traumatic stress, PTSD, or other dynamics that they've had, relationships, the counselors are telling me these great success stories that the client gets it immediately.
That's awesome.
So we know it's working. And these are all independent of each other. They're not like they're like one group. They're all over. And so that's been fascinating. So keeping up with where this works, because it'll work in corporations, it'll work in schools, it'll work with students. I love working in homes, coaching children. Parents are trying to do so much. A lot of them are single moms. Trying to raise a kid, and they're struggling to make ends meet because, you know, there's usually two people working in a home nowadays. The kid's just trying to be a kid. Who am I? And they're faced with school and homework and all this stuff, and they have so many hours at homework. And but if all those dynamics magnify the fractures we bring in our relationships. Work does it, and family life does it. And that's what this heals.
Well, very good, Randy. Can you do me a favor and tell people how they can find your book, how they can find your coaching?
The book is available on my site or on Amazon in print or Kindle. So you can go to Amazon and look up Managing Your Crazy Self. The website is Managing Your Crazy, which I have a registered mark on. And we're going to come up with other books down the road with Managing Your Crazy Spouse, Your Crazy Weight, Your Crazy Budget, and that kind of thing. So managing your crazy is the whole key, because your brain generates that, and you have to do it. No one can manage your crazy for you.
Yeah.
You're the only one. No one actually has the authority to do it. And if you give it to them, it'll screw both of you up. It creates codependencies and all kind of coping mechanisms that are not required. So going to the Managing Your Crazy, and you can look at that as if you're a individual wanting personal development, if you're looking for a spouse relationship dynamic, whether it's pre-marriage, marriage, or divorce recovery, working with your children, or if you're in a corporate world and you want to work with your staff or be certified to do that in your company to add value as an HR director, or if you're a manager or a leader and you want to come in and bring that tool to your company so that you get the better return on the dollar. It also helps retain good employees. So good employees will go where the best opportunities are, where the best package is. And if you give them these tools, they will stay longer and they'll use that and they'll feel more valued. So there's many, many facets for this.
Sounds like it's a broad application. So any other thoughts, Laura? As we...
I mean, I think I'm going to go manage my crazy.
Good.
You got to name your crazy self.
I was just going to say.
I do want to say that. You want to name your crazy self, something that makes you laugh. Mine is Rooster Foghorn Leghorn. And if you remember Rooster, he says, son, I say, son, you know, you look like 2 miles of bad track. Let me tell you what I'm going to do for you, boy. And so it makes me laugh, and it snaps you out of your funk because now you're laughing at yourself. And so you have authority over your instinctive wound, and you can manage it more effectively from the conscious mind.
What do you name yours, Laura?
I mean, I was going to name it Ozzy the Ostrich.
Is that Crazy Laura?
I mean,
you got
to
go
with first. Not. I would probably have to think on who Crazy Laura would be.
It's got
to
be someone that makes you laugh, because that's what snaps you out of it. Because also it renders it harmless. Once you realize, like Brian, who's Crazy Brian?
So this is going to be named the Pizza Man. My kid this morning, I have a three-year-old, and he made me knock on his door, ring the doorbell before I came in, and, and introduce myself. I said, I'm Brian, and he said, I'm the Pizza Man. So that makes me laugh.
That's great. Laugh all day. Because see, now you it doesn't hurt, right? It's harmless. When you think of that, you're laughing. What a precious moment. And that's who's upset. Whenever you get upset, fearful, stress, somebody cuts you off, you say, well, the Pizza Man's upset today. And you'll automatically calm down.
That's true. That's right. You know, I do a lot of public speaking. I work with a lot of people who are...
She's going to calm down every time you say it.
Pizza Man. I work with a lot of public speaking, and I talk, and I learned this from Simon Sinek, that the same fear, the same things that you feel when you're afraid is the same things you feel when you're excited. So try to channel that fear into excitement before you go up and speak.
Well, yeah, you're generating the chemicals from your brain so the muscles and everything can function, but they originate from a different source. If you think of the person that you that irritate you the most, mm-hmm. just thinking about them will release chemicals. And if you think about the pizza man, that's going to release different chemicals and endorphins. And so it's still got to fill your body. And by the way, if you stay stressed too long, mm-hmm. it manifests in physical disabilities or ailments. The overcharge of those unhealthy chemicals are meant to fight something or run from something. And if you stay in that, it will find the weak organ in the body and attack it. And so a lot of healing has to happen emotionally before it will heal physically.
That's a powerful way, I think, to go out. I could do this all day because it's so relatable and so interesting, but we're going to close on that.
All right.
Randy.
Well, name your crazy self and go have some fun. And enjoy your life, but be more productive, and then we can work with it.
That's good. That's good. Well, awesome. Laura, thanks for coming on board
today.
Yeah,
this has been really fun. Thanks for coming on,
Randy.
Thank
you.
It's been awesome.
I love being here.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, and go out and close some business.
See y'all later.
Central Texas rains, the strongest drink I've found.
Thank you for listening to Big Ideas Small Business. Follow us at BISB Media and visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.